Glory to God. Amen. Well, for everybody that didn't have a prayer list, I want you to get one. We got people that we're praying for that are not even on this list. You got your own list of people that you are praying for. And so let's make sure we add everybody that's on this list to your prayers, because that's one way that you reach out and touch people is in prayer. You might not see the results because you may not know the people. Sometimes you'll only get a praise report of what happened. But I can truthfully tell you that Jesus is always awake, and he always hears, and he always reaches out and touches according to the cries of his children. You see, if you don't believe that, then you don't believe what the Bible says. But I know that he reaches out and touches people's hearts and lives, and he does it around the world. And you know who he does it through? You. That's how you reach and touch other people. You see, we're going to talk about a touch of God. A touch of God. You know, for those of you who know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, right now, you have been touched by God. Now, you think about that day of your salvation, how he came to you personally. Because, you see, he is a personal Savior. He is one that never leaves nor forsakes you. You see, sometimes we lose our commitment, but he ain't never lost his commitment. He never will lose his commitment, because God is not a man that he should lie. You think about it. You see, Jesus was always reaching out, touching people. A touch of God. He was reaching out and touching people, and he did it all kinds of ways. And we'll probably have some more messages on this later on. But a touch of God. There is a multitude of ways that God touches. A multitude. So he reaches out and touches people. He makes a difference. He changes their lives. He shows them a better way. He brings new life. He brings healing. He brings wholeness. He brings wellness. He brings revelation and clarity to the issues of life. Like I said a while ago out of Psalms 56, whenever I am afraid, I trust in God. Because you see, God ain't never afraid. God is never in a tither as to what he's going to do next. He's never anxious about anything. Neither should we be. If we will remember in whom we trust, let's reach out and touch them in these same ways. He fed them. He healed them. He taught them. He confronted them. He rebuked them. He exposed their selfish, sanctimonious, sinful ways. Did he not? You can read every bit of that in the Word of God. If you want some scriptures, we'll get together after service. But he did all of that in touching them. He touched them to teach them. He touched them to help them. The same way he touches us. He touches us and our lives and our families to help us. For you see, God does not want to hurt you. He wants to help you. That's why he came. He came to fallen mankind because we couldn't control ourselves. That's the truth. That's truth. We couldn't control ourselves. So he is there to help us to control ourselves. To follow him. Follow him all the way. Then he had compassion upon them through his love, his mercy, and his grace. Is that not the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is that not the crux of what it actually is? There's no argument about any of that. Although people like to argue about everything. Y'all probably don't know anybody like that, though. I know a few. Jesus left us a mandate to reach out and touch other people's lives. He left that mandate with us. And we're going to go through some of that mandate. After your first step of salvation, you should be anointed for service to the King. You should be anointed as His servant. The problem is we don't have enough servants. Because you see, a servant only does the will of his father. Only does the will of his master. Only does the will of his Savior. That's what a servant does. You see, because no one else has control over what he's going to do other than the master. So he reached out and touched our lives so that we would be servants. For service to him. Not just servants to walk around and say, look how good I am. Look how great I am. Look how much I've done. No. To be of service in humility and humbleness and meekness. By the way, meek ain't weak. Just try being meek for a week and you'll see that it isn't. Because you got to be really strong to be meek all the time. You got to really be strong. I want you to turn to Luke 4. Luke 4, verse 14, Luke 4, 14. I like the book of Luke, especially Luke 4. There's a lot of stuff happening in Luke 4. Verse 14, listen to this. It says, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and the news of him went throughout all the surrounding region. He taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. You see, he was still reaching out at that time. He was reaching out and touching people's lives. And then he said, so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet of Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written. Y'all like that? It is written. Yeah. You know, it is written in here so there ain't no mistake about what he said. It is written in here so you can read it and remember it. It is written in here so that you understand his statutes and the way that he wants us to reach out to others. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Y'all know that, don't you? If you're saved and following Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. What is it upon you for? To be anointed to preach the gospel? Now, I'm not talking about getting up here in the pulpit. Because every one of you have a pulpit outside this church building. Every one of you. See, we're all called to be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're all called to reach out and touch other people's lives. We're all called to do that. Because you're going to see folks I'll never see. You're going to be in situations that I'll never experience. You're going to go through things that I will never go through. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon you because he has anointed you to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, that's not particularly financially. There are people that are very poor in spirit. They are beaten. They are downtrodden. I'm not good enough. Or I'm too bad. I have done too many bad things. Well, let me tell you something. God is straightening all that out, okay? You got to give him a chance. You got to give him a chance to do that. Because I promise you, he can do that if you will allow him. Because he ain't going to force us to do nothing. Like I told you before, he won't make you do anything, but he may make you wish you had done it. So, you know. I don't know if y'all have ever been there, but I have. I've been there. to preach the gospel to the poor. And then he has sent us to heal the brokenhearted. When's the last time you were just a shoulder for somebody to cry on? When was the last time you were just an ear to listen? That you reached out and touched somebody because they had a problem? Not that you had an answer, but you were a good listener. And then as Holy Spirit would speak to your heart, you were able to give them right straight from the book, right straight from the Spirit, those words of comfort, those words of assurance. You see, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be reaching out and touching people the same way that God reached out and touched us. Can I tell you that he ain't give up on you yet? If you don't know him, he's not give up on you. I'm living proof of that. I had people praying for me for a long, 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 long time, including more longer my wife. It's never too late in the kingdom of God. And he never gives up because he has people who are after him and they never give up. They continually pray, reaching out and touching other people like Jesus reached out and touched us. He said, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, give them assurance. Y'all like assurances? You like stability? You like those things in your life that you know that this is going to happen and that is going to happen? Let me tell you, when there is no assurance in your life, who do you depend upon? The government? You depend on your next door neighbor? You depend on the guy down the street? You know? You depend on the county judge? No, we depend on God. Because God will never leave us. He only has our best interest at heart. But he asked us to reach out and touch other people. See, when you are stable, then you can reach out in authority. Because you have his authority. Because all authority has been given to him. Think about it. Think about it. And then he says to proclaim liberty to the captives. Did you know that we were all once captives? You think about when you were captive. See, I don't have to think very far back when I was captive. But one day, I got arrested. I got arrested on the roof, putting shingles on by Holy Spirit. I had to assume the position. I was prostrate before the God. I had tears that flowed from my eyes. But he didn't leave me there in that shape. Then he carried me in his love. Arrested by the Spirit. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, if you've never been arrested by the Spirit, you're missing out. Changed my heart, changed my life, changed my way I thought about things. He has proclaimed liberty to the captives. Recovery of sight to the blind. Now, see, that's not just particularly physical blindness. That's probably more spiritual blindness because I've known blind people that were very spiritual. They could see spiritually better than folks could see physically. The recovery of our sight. I told y'all before, you know, darkness is only the absence of light because when light comes, darkness got to go. Be that light. Proclaim that liberty. Recovery of sight to the blind, whether spiritual or physical. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. You ever met any oppressed people? They walk in a depressed state all the time. Because you can tell people like that because they speak in a negative manner all the time. Nothing is ever good enough. Something is always wrong. Never happy about anything. I'm going to tell you what, they're downtrodden. They're beaten up. And the enemy keeps his thumb on them. Jesus is there to set them free. You are that hand to reach out for Jesus. You're that hand. You're those feet that go. You're those eyes that see. You're that mouth that speaks. Let's reach out and touch them, people. Let's reach out. See, you've been given a mandate to do this. All you got to do is get in the book. It'll tell you. It said, at liberty those who are oppressed, downtrodden, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. How often? Y'all coined Brother John's phrase, daily. Daily. Proclaim him daily. Go to him daily. Pray daily. In fact, it says pray every moment without ceasing, does it not? To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. You know, today is the day and now is the time. Y'all heard me say that 1,000 times. Brother John said it last Sunday. Today is the day. Now is the time. If you don't do it now, when will you start? When will you start? I saw that on a time clock one time. It said, if you cannot find time to do it right the first time, where will you find time to do it over? In other words, the boss man didn't want to pay you twice to do the same thing. Just because you didn't take the time to do it right the first time. Can I tell you that God is the same way? He wants us to get it right. He wants us to do it right. He wants us to reach out and touch other people. See, I want to tell you what, serving God to the fullest, following Him to the letter, ain't for wimps. It ain't for somebody that's lazy. It ain't for somebody that always wants the easy way out. Because I'm going to tell you what, when you stand up for God, you're going to have controversy because the enemy don't like that. And he'll send folks, and we'll leave it at that, he'll send folks to come against you. You see, that ought not stop you because we just read the scripture in Psalms 56, what can flesh do to me? I told you about that old pastor in Vietnam. He was asked what he would... asked about them burning the churches down and so forth over there, and they said, well, you know, they can burn our churches, but they can't burn Jesus out of our hearts. One other old pastor said, you know, they can kill us, but they can't really do us any harm. Amen. You see, that's the attitude that we should take about reaching out to other people. What does it matter? It only matters that that next person gets saved. It only matters that we get the message out. It only matters that we do His will. Because if anything matters more than that, then you need to go check yourself, check your salvation. You need to check who you're following. Because I hadn't read that in the book yet. We get to follow someone else and Him too. No, Him first. Him first. Jesus first. Jesus first. Everything else second. But Jesus first. If you're really following Him, if you really want to touch people, you're going to keep Him first. He'll be the one that you always turn to. We reach out and touch people right where we are. You see, some people are called to go halfway around the world to touch people. You're called to touch them right where you are. You see, there's all kinds of ways of touching them. We got a bubblegum ministry in this church. If you want some bubblegum, all you got to do is go see him. He'd give you one. If I could chew bubblegum, I would get one. But I can't chew bubblegum. We reach out and touch people right where we are. When we are thankful for what God has done for us, we let everyone know about it. Do you? Do you let people know that you are thankful for what God has done for you? Do we really? Sometimes. Yeah, there you go. That's a good answer. That's a truthful answer. Sometimes. Sometimes. Go back and reread Luke 4 and gain some energy off of it. Gain some assurance off of it. Gain some strength off of it. Because you see, you've been anointed to do this. All you got to do is step out and do it. If you will. But let me tell you something. God, like I said, God's not in a tether. He's sitting up there wringing his hands wondering what to do next. Because if you won't go, I guarantee you, he got somebody else that will. Just don't go and you'll lose out. Do what he asked you to do when he asked you to do it while you have time. So when you're thankful, you're going to let others know it. Salvation through Jesus Christ is our first step, and then service to him as a servant is what comes next. And there's all kinds of servants. We got Sunday school teachers. We got people that help with the business of the church. We got all of these wonderful things. I'll tell you what. Just see what Brother Darrell does back there in that sound booth. You don't think that ain't service? I'd be lost as a goose in a hailstorm to put me in that booth. But that man understands what he is doing. And he is faithful to be there to do it for the church. Think about it. Being a servant. Servanthood is next after salvation. Are you reaching out and touching other people like Jesus did? You know, Jesus reached out and touched all kinds of folks in all kinds of ways in all kinds of situations. Way too numerous to talk about today. We'd be here for another 2-3 hours if I was to expound upon it. And we're not going to do that because we're going to go eat here in a minute. You know, food always gets people together, don't it? That's how Jesus got them together. I mean, I'm telling you, the church got a handle on it. That's how you get folks together, is you get food. So you see, we do it with the Word and what He wills for our lives. That's how we reach out and touch people. Let's go to Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Y'all know the scripture. It's our mandate. We preached out of that 3, 4, 5 times in the last 6 months. There's all kinds of messages within those three scriptures right there. But we're talking about reaching people like Jesus did. He left us a mandate. He said, I'm in the wrong book. Too many books in here. It was an apostle with an M, but it was not Matthew. Matthew 28, verse 17 says, when they saw him, have you seen him? We got a church right down the road here. That's how the pastor starts the service. Who saw Jesus this week? How did you see Jesus this week? Do you see him in a kind word? Do you see him in a kind action? Did you see him in an answer to prayer? How did you see Jesus? It says, they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Must have been more than one Thomas in there, huh? Doubters? Yeah. Yeah. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority. You know something? He'd give you that authority as a saved, born again, blood bought child of the King. You have that authority. You can stand in his authority. You can speak in his authority. You can work in his authority. There ain't no higher authority than Jesus Christ. No higher authority. His authority has been given to you. Will you use it? That's always the question. Do we use it? Will we use it? Can we use it? Yes, we can. We can use it. But we got to step out in faith to use it. You got to step out in this word to use that authority. And then he said, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is how you reach out and touch people. We had several baptisms here. We reach out and touch people. We have salvations. We have people come forward for prayer. We reach out to people. We touch people. The same way that Jesus did. He touched us. What have we done with it? Do we touch him like he touched others? Will you go for him? That's what it says, go. Will you make disciples for him? That's what it says, make disciples. Will you baptize for him? Will you teach them for him? Will you be bold and tell them about his commands? Because you see, there ain't no two ways in serving Jesus. You're either for him or you against him. There ain't no middle of the road. There ain't no gray area. You're either for him or you're against him. So when will you start? I'll ask you that again. When will you start? Will you start today? Will you start right now? Will you start with what you do know? Listen to me. Don't worry about what you do not know about this word. Don't worry about what you do not know. Study more to know more, but start out with what you have. Because if you don't start out, if you think you need to keep studying, you'll never go. You'll never start. Don't worry that you can't quote it word for word. Big deal. I don't quote most of the scriptures I talk to people about word for word anyway. I ain't that smart. But I can talk to them about what it says. I can tell them in a roundabout way what the scripture is talking about. And I don't even have to tell them it's scripture. Did you know that a lot of people, you start talking to them, quoting chapter and verse, and the door comes up. The light switch goes off. The ears close. But if you talk to them about it, the way that they understand it, they get it. Now, some of them will do something with it, and some of them won't. But you see, that's not up to you. You did your job. You reached out. You reached out and touched their heart. You reached out and touched them right where they live. That's all that he's asked us to do. Reach out like he did. Can I tell you that not all of them that heard Jesus got saved? Not all of them that heard Jesus followed him? In fact, there were some that they said, hey, this saying's too hard. Eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. They said, oh, that's too hard. And it says they turned around and walked with him no more. So don't worry about it when they do that. Don't worry about it. Holy Spirit has got it, okay? It says, lest he draw them, they will not come. Right. How will they hear unless somebody tells them? If we don't tell them, we ain't reaching out. So let's reach out for Jesus. Let's reach out and touch people. I come back to that same question. When will you do that? Will you do that today? Will you start today? You know, we're going to reach out here in just a minute. We're going to go over there and have a meal with fellowship. What greater way to reach out to people? You get to know folks. You get to find out about them. their fears, their frustrations, their failures, all those different things that make up our life. And then guess what? We get to encourage. We get to reach out and touch with the hand of Jesus through the words of Jesus, through the will of Jesus. What's in a touch? Lord of mercy. That's way too many messages. What's in a touch? I tell you what, there's peace of mind. There's a realization that there is no chaos. There is a stabilization. Yeah, guess what? The touch of man, I'm getting ahead of myself. The touch of man, all you married guys out there, you remember the first time she ever let you hold her hand? Been too long, Charlie? I do. You remember, all of you who have children, you remember the first time that you held that little one in your arms? You remember that touch? You remember that cry? You remember that love, that happiness? You remember that joyful feeling? You remember all of that? That came from a touch. Can I tell you, it's even more with Jesus Christ. It's eternal life. Because He is life. Do we reach out with that happiness in our hearts? You see, we experience it here physically, but I'm going to tell you, in the spirit, in the spiritual, in the supernatural things of God, and I'm getting way off of what I was talking about, but that's where it is. That's a true reaching out. That is who you are within you. In your spirit, that's where you change. It's called a heart change. It's called being born again. It's called turning around from what you were doing and following after Him only. Reaching out and touching people, you give them the opportunity to experience that, if you will. But like I said, serving Jesus ain't for wimps. You got to want to. And then you got to step out and do it. You got to make up your mind that that's what you're going to do, because if you don't, you never will. It needs to be an everyday thing. I could go further, but I probably won't. Luke 18:8. We're going to probably call it a Luke 18:8. Page 923. 18:8. I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, would He really find faith on earth? Will He really? Will He find you faithful to reach out and touch others as you were touched? You know, I can give you some more scripture. Freely you have been given. Freely give. Freely give it away. Are you freely giving of yourself to others? Only thing it's going to cost you is some time. Will He really find faith? Will He find you faithful? Will you be faithful? Will you be faithful to reach out and touch other people? You see, because touching their lives will make a difference. In fact, the difference is life and death. Think about it. I don't know about y'all, but I sure am glad that He took the time to come to me, even though I had rejected Him. You know, a lot of times we get rejected. We don't want to go back for anymore. But each and every one of us in here, in some way, shape, or form, through our lives, we rejected Him. coming to that saving grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ is everything. It starts and ends right there, folks. And when we do that sincerely in our hearts, we're going to reach out and touch other people the same way that he reached and touched us. I don't know about y'all, but I am eternally grateful that he took the time. So will we? You see, his mandate's not changed. He's still asking people to come. He's still asking us to go. Hadn't changed a bit. That word is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Always the same. Never changes. Man changes it. But God's word don't never change. Man pollutes it. Misuses it. But not God. He's always the same. So is there anyone here today that needs Jesus Christ in their life? Anyone? Okay? We're all believers. We all believe Jesus died on the cross, rose again on the third day, ascended into heaven, sits at the right hand of the Father, there day and night to ever intercede for each and every one. You believe that? I do. I believe that. I eat, sleep, and breathe it, and preach it, and talk about it, and because that's what we're supposed to be doing. We all have an opportunity. You just got to seize the opportunity. You got to look for the opportunity. Sometimes you got to make the opportunity. And then be ready, because the enemy is going to fight against you. He's going to tell you, well, you know, you don't know enough about the Word of God. You know, you're not confrontational enough. You know, you're not smart enough. You're not this, you're not that. Well, who cares what he says? I only care what God says. God said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you've been strengthened by the love and the mercy and the tenderness and the salvation of Jesus Christ, you have the authority to stand on. I told a boss man that one time. He wanted to give me a title. And I told him, I said, look, I don't want your title. You just give me the authority and I'll get the job done. I don't need the title. They don't even need to know my name. You just give me the authority to do what needs to be done and I will get the job done. Do you feel that way? Because you have the authority through Jesus Christ. And the job is up to us to go tell them. Holy Spirit's job is to draw them. Our job is to tell them. So let's be in the telling business, okay? Just tell them your testimony. That right there will change people's lives, because they'll find somebody who's been through the same junk that you have. What greater testimony can you give away than to tell them about your life? So first you touch by him, then you reach out for service. Won't you stand to your feet? We're gonna pray. And I want y'all to think about a recommitment to reach out. Think about right now what you can do, you as an individual, to reach and touch someone's life personally. And then I want you to dwell on that. I want you to go to Scripture. I want you to talk to the Lord about it. And then to go do something with it. Go touch somebody's life. But see, first you got to think about it. Then you got to be committed to it. So let's be committed to reaching out. To touching people. Okay? So let's have a word of prayer. Father, I ask you, Lord, to change our minds, Lord, about the way we think about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And get our minds, Lord, to think about your will for our lives, not our own. I ask you, Father, to help each and every one of us in this building today, Lord, to have a recommitment about reaching out. That, Lord, if we've lost our zeal for the gospel, Father, let us regain the joy of our salvation. Let us regain the joy, Lord, of knowing you as Savior. Regain that joy of knowing that our name has been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. We regain that joyfulness, Lord, which will be our strength, Lord. That joy, Lord, that you have placed there for us, Lord, as believers, Lord, no matter what we're going through, that we're able to have that joy, Lord, that is unspeakable, that joy in the Spirit, that joy, Lord, that we reach out and touch other people's lives with, that, Father, they too shall come to know you as their personal Savior. Father, as we stand in this place today, Father, I ask you, Lord, for a recommitment in each and every heart. That, God, that when they leave this place today, after we have eaten, Lord, that they reach out and touch someone, somewhere, at some time, no matter what the situation would be, that they stand in your authority with your boldness to tell someone about you. I ask you, Father, to strengthen us, lead us, guide us, and direct us, Lord, into all things, that we become those true worshipers in spirit and in truth. I ask you, Father, to bless this food, Lord, that we're about to partake of, Lord, in thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, first of all, to you, Lord, for our salvation. Thanksgiving to you, Lord, for our eternal life through Jesus Christ. And, Lord, we are thankful for it, Lord, for a nation of freedom. We are thankful, Lord, for all of those, Lord, who died for our freedom. We are thankful, Father, for those, Lord, who stood firm for our freedom. I want to give you thanks one more time, Lord, for the eternal life, Lord, that you offer each and every one. And, Father, I just give you all the praise. I give you glory. I ask you, Father, to bless all that food, Lord, to our bodies and our bodies to your service. And, Father, we just be careful, Lord, to give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Amen.